ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I'm the Gnarly Gnome. This is the Weekly Pint. It's not a show. It's a happy hour. It's an excuse for us to hang out and have a drink together, to just hang out like we're sitting at a bar, like a nice little virtual bar right across from each other, drinking together. Although you'll notice that my glass is very empty, which is a problem when you're drinking together. If your glass is empty, it's hard to drink together. We'll fix that in just a second. But because we are doing this whole happy hour drink together thing, I did not change. you need to tell me what it is that you're drinking as you jump on. Jump in the chat and tell me what you are sipping on. Marco is having a psychopathy. Chris wants to know if it's okay to pair Aleve with a double IPA. I am not a doctor. I don't know. I know that Tylenol is bad. Aleve might, I'm not going to say anything. I don't think Facebook likes if I give any kind of medical advice. Josh is having a nugget nectar. Chris, I would say consult your physician. let's see. Chris is having Ryan Geist now in 10. It looks like he made his decision. Marco says yes. Marco might be a doctor. Julia points out that it's safer than mixing Tylenol with booze. That is true. Bad for the liver. Don't do that. Let's see. Ryan is having a street side Polo Tamavi. It's really fun to say. Julia is having Sierra Nevada 2026 Bigfoot. Ooh, okay. That's a fun one. I haven't had Bigfoot for a long time, but now I want a Bigfoot, and I don't know that I have any Bigfoot in the house. Now I've got a problem. Let's see. Josh and I are also having our own schnappening with some Voltage. Oh, okay. So the weather is right for Voltage. That's not the direction that I am going with my schnappening. I decided that I wanted something a little bit not Christmassy, not wintry. I'm kind of done with it. I am kind of angry with the whole idea of snow and cold and winter. So I went a whole different direction, and not something shocking for this show because I've had it on the show plenty of times. We're going with a Bekarovka. I love this stuff. So delicious. Such a great bottle. It feels like a big giant flask, which just makes me feel like I'm supposed to be sipping on it. Let's dive into this. I'm a big fan of this stuff, if you don't already know that. Okay, if we can get the bottle open, these things always crust up. All right. Do we ever decide if this is actually schnapps? What does this say? An herbal liqueur. So maybe not really officially schnapps, but it counts. I've read this back of this before. We don't need to do that today. It's delicious. That's all you really need to know. Ah, oh yeah. It smells so good. Mmm. It's like it smells like my grandpa's medicine cabinet. Like a mixture of like Old Spice and like Bengay. That just smells like an old guy. I don't know. I love it. I'm going to sip this old guy booze, and I'm going to love it. Cheers, everybody. Welcome back. It feels very strange because I just did a special episode of the Weekly Pint yesterday to then do another one today. Plus, I literally just got off of doing a podcast with Blake, like, I don't know what, like 6 minutes ago. And I ran upstairs, talked to my kids for a minute, took a leak, and then ran back down here. So I feel very like I've been podcasting for like a week straight right now. It's all right. You know what I haven't been drinking this week? Bekarovka. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, it feels like it's healthy. I feel like this, I feel like it's good for your insides. Since 1807. It wouldn't have been around since 1807 if it was bad for you. It's definitely healthy. Let's see. John says, I pre-gamed with a triple from Bowling Green Beer Works. I knew that. And a Kolsch. Okay. John says, liquor gets you quicker. Going to have a gin and juice from Eastside Gin from Toledo Spirits. That might actually be a preview into something that I have sitting right here. I can see it. I was going to give you guys the option of what I actually drink once I get through my schnapps here. Man, that is such a freaking good booze. That's delicious booze. I'm trying to think of what else this smells like other than just like old man. And like, I can't really put my finger on it. It's like a, it's kind of woodsy, but not. Yeah, I'm just really like kind of medicinal, which makes it sound so gross, but it doesn't smell gross. It feels like, it feels nostalgic, like something that like if you opened like an old cedar chest full of like your like family heirlooms or something, you know, like old photo albums and like knickknacks and paddywhacks. If you open that cedar chest full of all those things, that's kind of what this smells like. Maybe it smells like cedar. There's some cedar. Maybe that's it. It reminds me of like just an, even like the actual photo albums. Like you remember the little sticky pages with the pictures that go inside the thing and then they in the book. It smells like old pictures. It smells like, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's also Avon bottles of some kind of weird aftershave that was sitting in the bottom of the cedar chest. Maybe that's what I'm smelling. I don't know, but this like reminds me of like my dad and my grandpa and like just these old guys around me. Not like old guys hanging out in the basement playing poker, eating Limburger cheese, but like just like Sunday afternoon old guy. And I love it. I love this. I would use this as aftershave. Just put a little. That'll attract the ladies. Or my dog now is going to start licking my neck when I go upstairs. Either way. That's tasty stuff. If you guys have not found a bottle of this, go get some Bekarovka. I've actually seen it behind the bar at a couple places. I cannot think specifically where, but I know I've seen it around, and I feel like it's a, it should be more places. If your favorite bar does not have a Bekarovka, tell them to get some. All right, let's open a drink. I have three choices.
Do I let you guys choose or do I roll for this? Do I roll the dice?
Two of them, well, see, I don't want to give anything away. You guys tell me if you want to pick or if you want me to roll for it. Oh, even the Bekarovka burp. Oh, that's great. Chris says it might be at the Gray. I actually tried to go. Julia says roll the dice. Okay. Oh, I hear screaming. My kids are screaming upstairs. I tried to stop at the Gray a couple weeks ago and got there and they took like 2 days off or something and just had a sign taped to the door. So I paid for parking, walked over, was getting ready to go in. I was going to have some coffee and then sit down and have a cocktail afterwards. And I couldn't because they were closed, so then I had to turn around and I had to leave, and it made me grumpy, but I'll get there sometime soon. Okay. Yeah, Chris says they had a winter break happening. Yes, that was that, and it was before the snow.
So now they have another winter break. Okay, I have three different drinks. I can show you the drinks if I'm rolling. So the first one, kind of on theme, literally gin and juice. This is courtesy of Snoop Dogg and Dre. Gin and juice. Melon-flavored gin and juice. Up next, a beer that has been teasing me for my fridge that I've been very eager to try. This is Vodnik. And it is a premium lager. Not just a lager, it's a premium lager. And that is from Angry Chair. And then our last choice, another beer. And a whole different type of beer. We got some Headhunter. I don't know the last time that I sat and drank a Headhunter. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said that they didn't like Headhunter. And so I'm like, you know what? I think I should drink some Headhunter. So those are my three choices. We're going to roll the dice. We'll go 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5 and 6. And we'll let the fates decide. Okay, anybody want to make some bets on this? Anybody pick a number, and if I hit your number, you gotta do a shot of Malort. Ryan already said 2 before he heard the stakes. So if I roll a 2, Ryan's got to do a shot of Malort. Chris picked 7, so if I roll anything, he has to do one. Josh has 3, Julia has 1. Marco, grab a number real quick, because I'm thirsty. Come on, shot of Malort on the line. All right, I'm tired of waiting. All right, here we go. It is a 3. What did I say 3 was? Was 3 Headhunter? I think 3 was Headhunter. Marco picked a 1 after I rolled. All right. Let me move all this out of the way. If I drink this quick enough, I'll also probably drink something else. Let's see what we can learn. Well, let's pour it and then we'll learn. There's a little bit of Dunkel left in my glass. Headhunter can overpower Dunkel, right? Yeah, it can overpower Dunkel. I can hear my kid. I hope you guys can hear my kids upstairs. I don't know what they're doing. Doesn't sound angry. Sounds like happy giggling, but they don't have school tomorrow again, as I'm sure a lot of you with kids are in the same boat. If you're tuning in from, I don't know, Taiwan or something, we got a pretty good snowstorm, and we have a lot of snow on the ground. This does say on here that this is handcrafted and unfiltered. Pour slowly. Did I pour it slowly enough? Does that mean that there's going to be chunks? Let's see. Let's see what the bottom looks like. Yeah, it's a little bit hazier on the bottom. Not really. It looks about the same. All right. Headhunter. I've had this plenty of times, but man, I really don't know that I can tell you the last time that I did. I feel like, did they have some other headhunter, like a fruited headhunter or a hazy headhunter or something? I don't even know. I don't even know. Ooh, Josh says that Julia brought home a rye dunkel from Woolly Pig. That sounds great. Okay, yep. This is super fruity. Like this is West Coast, right? Like this is considered West Coast IPA, right? Let's see. It has World Beer Cup 2023 Gold for American Style IPA. GABF 2023 Gold American Style IPA, It does not tell me that it's supposed to be West Coast. It's just American. America. Okay. Because it's, I mean, it's good. It smells good. Grapefruit. Some citrus. All right, let me try it. Oh, yeah. Big, bitter. You know what? It finishes kind of nice and soft and fruity, though. Like, that's a great beer. That is a really good beer. Yeah, I'd call that West Coast. Ryan says, Marco, isn't Headhunter your go-to lately now that Celebration isn't on the shelves anymore? Yeah. Lately. That's a good beer. Look at the head on that. Big, fluffy. So I don't know what I'm supposed to talk about or what I'm not allowed to talk about the Ohio Craft Beer Awards. We were supposed to be talking about it this week because the award ceremony was supposed to happen on Wednesday. So I don't know what I'm supposed to talk about. But American IPA, I might have drank a few of those last week. Oh, man. Yeah, that's good. Like, that just, it's citrusy. Like, it's just like the, there's too many IPAs. John says, say whatever, just don't say who won. I don't know who won. I have no idea. That's the God's honest truth. Not only could I not tell you, like, in our medal round, which one we put through, I don't even remember what style we put through on that one. I did not have a medal round for IPA. For anybody, I guess we could talk about that a little bit. For anybody that is tuning in that was expecting this to be a incredibly chaotic episode, possibly from somewhere in Dayton, me holed up in a bar somewhere going live just from my laptop. Yeah, I'm in the studio because the Ohio Craft Brewers Conference got canceled. It's very, very confusing still because the conference got canceled. The awards can't really get canceled because it all happened already. Like, the actual judging and the awards, all of that happened. And we are now just waiting to hear who won. And we are all waiting to hear who won because we don't know what beers we were tasting when we were judging. We are just kind of waiting for some kind of opportunity to have these awards. The Ohio Craft Brewers Association is still kind of finalizing when that's going to happen, when it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, and how it's going to happen. And I'll let you know as soon as I know more, but it's all kind of in flux still, which is really frustrating. I thought, like, I would know who the winners were this week, and we were going to be able to talk about it, and it's going to be really exciting. And now this week is just kind of, it's like a, I don't know, big fart. It's just like, nothing. Man, I don't drink a ton of IPAs. I know I've talked about that before on the show. And every time I drink a great IPA, I remember that I probably should drink more of them. And that is, that's a shame. Okay, let's jump into this. Oh, I think I made... Oh, I did. I made artwork for the schnappening, and I forgot to put it up. Look, it's time for the schnappening, and then we missed it. Okay, whatever. Let's jump into the big topic I want to talk about tonight, Bad Tom Smith. For anybody here in Cincinnati, you know the name. Bad Tom Smith has been around since 2013, when they opened, and they opened over on Eastern Avenue. A couple guys that kind of met through kids soccer. They were just soccer dads just hanging out, fans of craft beer. And at that time, there weren't a whole lot of craft breweries in town, and they decided they were going to start a craft brewery, and they did. And very quickly, a couple of the guys backed out of it, and the business started suffering a little bit, and a couple from out of town came in and purchased the business and saved it, and kind of started working with the business plan of what would make Bad Tom Smith a success. These were people that were not craft beer drinkers, were not Cincinnatians, but they knew a lot about business, I guess. They had this plan for kind of this production facility here in Cincinnati that would feed tap room here, tap room in Cleveland. They had plans for a tap room in Pittsburgh, a couple other kind of regional kind of spaces that they thought this brand could work. And I don't think that's a bad idea, but the beer just never got great. It was never quite what it needed to be. And then also the money behind it kind of was never enough to really make it work. Bad Tom Smith just was always just kind of lackluster. That couple eventually, I think it was right around COVID, right around that time. No, it was before COVID. Oh, I remember now. It was right before COVID, and I don't know how much of their own personal business they want out there. One of the owners had some health stuff pop up, and he decided that he needed to kind of get out of all of this stuff, and they did. They got out. They sold the business to another investor, basically somebody that, again, in my opinion, didn't know a whole lot about the craft beer industry, has some beverage industry ties, I guess, through the tequila business. And it just never really caught on. It was always kind of, again, lackluster. The business has just, it's always just kind of been there. And they just announced on their social media the other day they are closing their Madisonville tap room, which actually we should probably read the actual statement. I should have prepared for this. Let's see. The actual statement is... okay. I think if I hit that... Okay. Okay, here's the statement, and it says, to our Bad Tom family and the Madisonville community, thank you to all of our amazing customers for your continued support over the years here in Madisonville. We are truly grateful for the memories, friendships, and community we've built together. Bad Tom Smith Brewery will be closing the Madisonville location effective midnight, January 31st. We'll be having our last bash on January 31st with discounted drinks and food. Please come and say your goodbyes with the team. And listen to this part very closely. This isn't goodbye forever. Stay tuned. We hope to continue the legacy of Bad Tom, and we will keep everyone updated as plans move forward for any future endeavors. Thank you for some truly great years. We appreciate each and every one of you who supported us along the way. Sincerely, the Bad Tom team, with 2 exclamation points. This is not, and this is my opinion, this does not read like a sad farewell, like a goodbye, we're done. This doesn't read like that at all. This feels like, this almost feels like they have, like if somebody had multiple tap rooms open currently and they were having to close one of them, this is how it would read. Like, look, man, like we got to close one of our 7 tap rooms. We hate this. But it's okay. It's not, we're not gone. Like that's what this feels like. And they do have another location. They have a production facility, which they still own, from what I know, that has a brew house and has all the equipment needed. It's a 15-barrel brew house. I don't know that they're done. This definitely makes it feel like they're not. I don't know anything else, any kind of inside information about that, but I have heard some rumor. So if you remember back, gosh, I don't know, 2 months ago-ish, something like that, I stopped out of Bad Tom. I try to make my rounds as frequently as I possibly can to some of these places, and I stopped out, and they've got 18 taps in their tap room, and so they have this big chalkboard, like a chalkboard behind the bar, and that's where they write all of the beers, and it's split into 18 spots, and then they write the beers on there, and it's like a tap room. You guys know what to expect. And I walked in and they had nothing listed for most of those taps. It was like a blank chalkboard, like erased for every tap, except for, I think, four of them. And they had just kind of opened that day. I usually try to get there early in the day when I'm going to hang out places. And I asked the bartender and I said, "Hey, what's going on here? Where's all the beer?" And she said, "I don't know. I've been off for about a week. I think they're just waiting on ingredients." Like, oh, okay. They're not waiting on ingredients. There's no way that you have 14 beers off because you're waiting on ingredients, unless you're waiting on water or something. I don't understand how that could be a thing. But so right then, I knew that there was something happening, and they had not. I just lost a light, and it's going to stress me out. They had not told their bar staff what that was that was happening. Okay, there we go. Which isn't crazy. Like, that does happen, and I get it. But it kind of set me down this little rabbit hole of trying to dig and trying to figure out then what's going on. The rumors that I've been hearing, Julia says, moving to white label contracting, maybe, and doing some distro only Bad Tom branded stuff, just recklessly speculating. I don't know. I'll get there. So I started digging a little bit, and some of the rumors, and these have been kind of rolling around for a while, was that they've got, we got to retrace a little bit again. If we go back about a year, there was, and I talked about it on this show, some of the rumors, not rumors, some of the plans for this Bad Tom production facility / tap room / whiskey and tequila tasting room and restaurant, this big plan that they had. And that had been kind of put out there on the developer side that I came across, then it was a big plan. And then they were saying that they couldn't announce any of the actual location or anything like that yet. Maybe a month or two after that, the news got a hold of it, and the plans actually came out that it was over in Eastgate, this big development that was supposed to be anchored by Bad Tom Smith and The Works, which is a pizza place here locally. That kind of rolled around for a while, and then through the grapevine, I heard that that development was not happening in the same way. I don't know the full details of who backed out or why they backed out or any of that, but it wasn't going to happen. So Bad Tom was out of this development deal for this big space that they had been planning. So then the rumors kind of started rolling around that instead of going this whole route of finding a new location to open this big restaurant, tap room, bourbon, tequila tasting space, instead of going that route, since they've got this production facility that is over in Batavia that is already up and running, and they've got this space that they could just do it there, you know, kind of remodel that building and turn it into a brewery and tequila tasting room and whiskey tasting room and restaurant and all of this stuff. I think that's what's happening. I don't have any evidence for that. I don't have any kind of big kind of picture that I can show you of why I think this, but I'm pretty sure that they are shutting down the brewery because they are going to build a new building, and it's going to be a big tasting room thing. What I don't know is if, and well, I don't know any of this, but what I don't have any thoughts on. No, I've got thoughts. What I don't have any evidence. No, I don't have any evidence for any of this. I don't know if it's going to be Bad Tom themed. I don't know if Bad Tom is the brand behind any of this. The family that owns the company has several other brands. They have a Cinco Cruzitos tequila. That's theirs. They have a Brazen Oak bourbon. That's theirs. They have Bad Tom Smith. Both beer and bourbon are both brands that they have. I don't know. Number one, I don't know what I would do if I were them. I don't know what the smart decision necessarily is. I don't know if it's time to just kind of let go of Bad Tom and go with one of these other brands. If this whole thing is actually happening the way I think it is, I don't know. And they certainly aren't saying anything if they know. So that's kind of where things are right now. And I don't know that there's some kind of master plan out there right now. If it is, it doesn't sound like they've told any of their staff, because it sounds like their staff is just kind of Bad Tom is done. And I'm hoping that throughout their other businesses, if they have other roles for that staff, that they are kind of going to hang on to them that way. But I don't know. I don't know the inner workings of their business and how it goes. I don't know if it's time to let Bad Tom go. Julia, through her reckless speculation, said white label contracting and doing distro only Bad Tom. Distro only, I don't think, is a smart move for them. The white label would have made sense if they were keeping Madisonville open. If you were going to take this production facility and either demolish the whole thing or rehab it or whatever, and you, throughout this process, you knew you're going to have to shut down your production and switch to a contract-only beer model, that would have made sense. And I still think if you knew that this whole thing was going to happen the way my brain thinks it's going to happen, that would have been the smart thing to do. You just start selling Bad Tom beer that somebody else is brewing for you. 18 beers is a lot. So maybe, I don't know, maybe you go down to like 6 beer taps and start leaning into cocktails pretty heavy, which is probably a smart decision if you're opening this other tasting room. I don't know. The whole thing, there's lots of pieces of the whole thing that don't make a lot of sense to me. So we will see what is actually happening. And I don't know that we'll get a lot of answers soon or ever. If none of this comes to fruition, I don't know that we'll ever know what actually happened with them this time. But we do know the Madisonville tap room, which is it's a fun little tap room. It's a good space. It's a neat old bank, and they have the old vault there and everything. It's fine. It's just they never lived up to what we wanted them to live up to in that space, and that's disappointing. Their wings, if anybody followed my wings challenge, the best wings in any Cincinnati brewery, their wings were fantastic. They just never made very many of them, or they sold a whole bunch really fast because they were really hard to get a hold of. they were gone quickly. And maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of things about Bad Tom that I don't really don't really fully understand. And I know that there's been separate ownership groups, and that complicates everything. And they got a lot of crap pretty early on about their beer, and I think some of that was deserved, some of it wasn't deserved. I don't know. Zach says, cheers to a cold evening, drinking Alesmith Barrel-Aged Speedway Stout Rye Vietnamese Coffee Edition. That's a lot of words for a beer style to stay warm. I need to drink some of my beer so I can drink some gin and juice or something. I can still hear the kids. They're definitely still awake. This is why snow day weeks are so tough. Okay, let's move on. Let's pull up. Actually. Oh, that's the wrong button. I know. I'm looking for this. Label approvals. What does any of that allow if back? What? Okay. Oh, gotcha. Laid back. That's what that's supposed to say. Laid. There's some F's in there, man. That doesn't make sense. Ryan is now drinking a cost-friendly Kirkland Signature Helles style lager from Deschutes. I've heard that's a good beer. It's actually very funny that that's what you're drinking. I have not tried it. And I have some friends who have been telling me that it's a great beer. So I don't know. I don't have a Costco membership, so I don't know how I'm supposed to get my hands on it. Kirkland's Costco, right? No, Kirkland is Sam's Club, right? Where's Kirkland? Who sells Kirkland? No, that's... Why am I losing my mind here? Some of these label approvals, just to give you guys a heads up. I'm so burpy. This is way burpy. Julia says, Kirkland is Costco. Thank you. And John says, I'll mule it for you. Some of these labels are a little old. And specifically this one, if you've been following, All Fathers Meadery has changed their name since this label came through, which is interesting. And I have not dug into why they had to change their name. What did they change it to? Forgotten something or other. If I could find them. See, this is hard because I don't know the name of their... Oh, there we go. Forgotten Gods Meadery. Okay. Oh, yeah, and they've got a whole different, like, label thing going on. I just pulled up their Facebook page, and they've got, like, look at this new, like, they're, like, clear labels now, like, on, like, almost, like, wine bottles. It looks great. It looks way better than this label. Yeah. Well, I still have never made it down there in Camp Springs, which is down there. And they're only open like on, I don't know. Julia says one of the fathers died. Now it's some fathers. They're only open like Fridays and Saturdays or something. So, or maybe even Saturday, Sunday. I have no idea. We'll get there one of these days. Zach says, on a late response to Bad Tom, I unfortunately never got a chance to visit the brewery, but had their beer at festivals. Yeah, we'll see if you get a chance again. I'm holding out hope. Ryan says, isn't Allfather a reference to Odin? I think it was. And like Hel, like this one here, definitely some kind of Norse god thing, right? Isn't that something in that whole realm? I don't know. Chris has second Tuesday of the week. Yeah, that's the way it feels sometimes with some of these places. All right, let's move on. I need to put batteries in the keyboard again so I don't have to reach all the way across the table to move. Cincinnati Distilling. So again, some of these are old. This is the Mixology series, Bottled Manhattan. I'm pretty sure this is on shelves already. You can go and get it. It's a big, giant bottle of Manhattan, which, fine. I don't know why, especially Manhattan. I don't know why this needs to exist. Like, it's two ingredients. Like, I don't know. I don't know. St. X bourbon. They Cincinnati Distilling does a lot of like these small batch things, whether actually ever released or released in just very small small bits. Zach says, I did get a chance to try the Dan Listerman beer at DVD this last week, and I love that brown ale. It was a great brown ale. That was a good beer. I got to try it too. Fish logs. We've seen fish logs in packaging. So again, not that exciting. I think I'd have to look at a can to see the difference, but there is probably just like a little design difference or wording or something on this. Yeah. Some of these are boring. Carbless. These are made by Impact. They are, packaged by Impact. It's local. They go in my file. So that's why they're here. Nothing that you should care about. Same as these, Mom Water. Although these are tea, and I do like some boozy tea. I haven't been drinking boozy tea lately because it's been too cold. Okay, Northern Liberties. We've talked about this because I've got bottles of this sitting around, and it's freaking fantastic. they're now doing some of their single barrel stuff, which is amazing. Zach says, so label approval night equals lame week. No, there's some good stuff in here. It's not yet. Some of it's just old because I haven't done it in recent years. I don't think I've done it this year. Skeleton Root wine. That's wine. Do people still drink wine? Super Friends. This is already out again. Old label at this point, but good beer. Nasdravi, great Czech dark lager. Polutomavi. this one, I think they just announced this week, maybe. Irish Stout, Black Velvet Band. I got some Wandering Monsters. Free Monsters, Port Barrel Aged. Free Monsters, too. I think these are still... Yeah, these are all pretty old here. The Wander Line. Next. This is from Name Brand Distilling. For anybody that doesn't know them, they're up in Middletown. I have still, again, another one that I haven't been to. Man, like it never used to be that there was a place that was open that I hadn't been to. These guys are, I think, celebrating a year, I think, and I still haven't been there. And that just upsets my soul. Okay, here's some stuff. I know there's some new stuff here. Gilligan's Double Chocolate Stout. This beer is incredible. If you haven't tried it yet, it's on tap there. It'll be in packaging, obviously, with this. Big, bold, chocolatey stout. This is awesome. Zach says, nice interview with you once again with Blake today on this podcast and with some other people in the industry. Yes, that was a good show. I have not actually listened to the podcast of it after we recorded it. Feels like we recorded it 6 months ago. But if Zach, if you want a little inside information, we also recorded a podcast tonight with Blake. Yeah, this is a great beer if you haven't tried it yet. If you would like to, pay attention to it because it'll be on shelves soon. This one is big news. So this is their stout, their Irish stout. If you go to Gilligan's, if you've never been there, go there. They always have this on nitro right at the end of the tap list. They have two nitro taps, and one of them is always the dry Irish stout. They are canning the dry Irish stout on nitro. It's been a while since we've seen a local brewery do a nitro can. It's been, I feel like, a long time. I feel like Rivertown might have been the last one to do it. So, I mean, a really long time. I'm guessing. I don't know if they've got a widget in this or not. I know there's like different types of widget cans you can get. Some that have them like attached to the bottom of the can. Some that are like free floating, like the Guinness thing. I'm not sure. Ryan says, what was the name of the place in Hamilton? Are you talking about the Gray that we were talking about earlier? I'm not sure. Chris says Municipal has a raspberry chocolate coffee stout on draft right now. I saw that. Julia says, was it Next in Middletown, I think? Next is the vodka brand. Name Brandt is the distillery in Middletown. Marco says his. Yes, we were on Blake's podcast. I'm super pumped about this. I think that this is really, really exciting for not only Gilligan's to help kind of get that that word out there to people that they exist and that what they do and who they are, but also, like, this is a local kind of style that needs to be on shelves, especially heading into the season. And when I say the season, I will forever be reminded of the season here in the studio. I don't know if anybody remembers a certain episode where... Hang on, let me see if I can get this camera adjusted. Yeah, there we go. So on my desk, there will forever be this little green ring. This was because Dayavid, my AI bartender friend, came up with a cocktail for me that had so much green dye in it that it dribbled a little bit outside of the glass and stained my desk and will forever be right there. Thank you, Dayavid. I'm not mad at you, Dayavid. Please don't kill me in my sleep, but you did that. That's all you. Julia says, stoked about a local canned nitro release. Yes. Zach says, didn't Urban Artifact do a nitro fruit? Yes, you are right. Shout out to Zach. Yes. Urban Artifact did two nitro beers. They had at least two. I can think of two. They did the peach originally, and then for Beer Vent, they did Slide Rule. I completely forgot about that. And Julia said, David said, a quarter cup of food coloring. Was it really a quarter cup? Leprechaun's Revenge. I think that's the name of it. I think that was actually the name of the cocktail. It's just AI messing with us constantly. All right, moving on. Fresh Hop Ale from Westside. Honor Beer. Wait, this is already like... I don't even know if you can... this might all be gone already. That's how long this has been since I've done these approvals. Westside with Lion Lager. So there are a couple like local team collaborations here. I love actually the artwork on this that's kind of... still is kind of Westside, but not. Oh, that one's fun. And then they've also got the Lancer Lager. Some Ryan Guy stuff, Grapefruit Bubbles. I'm pretty sure that's, been announced, I think. Here's a good one. Cincy Light Watermelon Sea Salt. I don't want Cincy Light to end up as a brand that has 14 different flavors. I'm fine if it does, and I'm not judging, and I will probably drink a whole bunch of this in the summer if it's actually released. But I don't know that I want it to exist. I don't know that it needs to. but yeah. Yeah, I could crush that. Look, I'm a Cincy Light fan. You guys see it every week here in the studio. I love Cincy Light. I think it's done great things for Cincinnati and for light beer in Cincinnati. But I don't even think lime should exist. I think it should just be a light beer, and that's it. Come up with another brand for it. I don't know. That's how I feel. It's kind of like Little Kings. Don't flavor it. Just my opinion. I know why you would, but I don't think it should be. Julia says, bring back Natter Days. No. No. I hated Natter Days. Ryan says the Irish dry stout from Street Side is also available in Nitro, only on draft, not cans. Yeah, I don't really know the whole process for Nitro beer in cans. I know you have to buy a special can, or you are supposed to buy a special can that has a widget to get that Nitro to kind of redistribute. You can do it with a regular can. All right, so here's the scientist in me talking. I'm not a scientist. I think that if you took like a regular, just a regular can and put a Nitro beer in that can and then packaged it, I think as long as the drinker took that can and shook it up like really good, like shook it up like crazy before they opened it, I think you would be okay. I think that's the whole point of the widget, if I understand right, is it kind of redistributes that Nitro into the beer. I wish I could get a scientist on the phone right now to tell me. I don't even know if the phone works. That's why it's not, the number's not up on the screen and the cord is sitting down there because it's been fighting me and I don't even know. Chris says Monster does it with nothing special. Yeah, like I know that I've seen cans that have you cut the can open to check that there's nothing special? That was Rivertown had cans that did not have a widget. So I know there are widget-free cans, but I don't know. These, I'm pretty sure the West Side cans, I think they said they were going to have widgets. I don't know. Anyways. Chris says, I have, of course. Yeah, it's a thing we have to do, right, when you get a Nitro can. Watermelon Sea Salt, Cincy Light. Moving on. Okay, Rheingeist Hidden Track. I'm guessing this is a Record Store Day beer, right? I don't know if they've announced this or not. Julia says the urban ones didn't have widgets, at least not that I recall. Let me text Brett, see if he's up. Okay, texting him right now. He, okay. Let's see. Do Nitro beers without widgets? I don't know. How do I word this? How do I word this question? Well, here we go. Here, why do some Nitro beers? Why do some Nitro beers need? I'm gonna put that in quotes because I don't know that they need them. Gotta figure that out, Bill Nye. Need widgets, and some don't. I need answers. And then I'll put a little smiley face. So I'm not actually demanding. Okay. There we go. See if I get an answer. He only texts me back like once out of every like 100 text messages that I send him. Probably says something about me. Okay, Hidden Track. It's a West Coast style IPA. I want this. I want this. I think it's probably pretty good. Chris says that if anyone knows Dan from Swine Citywood, I could just walk over to his house and just start pounding on his door. I'm just assuming since Brett made Nitro beer without widgets, he might know. Okay, moving on. Ooh, here's another good one. Here is another good one. Half Truth. Look, Rheingeist is making no bones about it. They are diving into this whole Truth brand family headfirst, and we're finally seeing a session. In theory, if this beer is actually released, which there is no evidence to say that it has to be released just by a label approval, it's a session IPA. A 4.5% truth. Yes. I'm all about this. And then I still think that if you want to make a, and I know they've already got plans and, they've already got plans for a West Coast non-alcoholic version of a, sorry, I'm reading like four different things. They've got plans for a non-alcoholic West Coast IPA that is called just, Ghost Hops. I still think it should be called Lie. I think that is the best name for a non-alcoholic version of Truth, but you don't have to call it Truth. You don't have to lean into the brand at all. You call it Lie. Because it's a lie, because it's not truth. I don't know. I think it's fun. Let's see. Julia says Westside as Featherweight IPA. I'm missing something here. Wasn't bad when I tried a while back. Lie would be brilliant. Truth hurts. Truth or consequences. Honest truth. The simple truth. There are a lot of different beer names that Rheingeist has either tried to trademark or has trademarked over the years that have to do with truth. That was where I kind of got tipped off pretty early about the entire brand family and how that might grow. And then once they started releasing one, it kind of gave me these other names to kind of watch for, and these other names to kind of put out there in the internet world to watch for any kind of movement on any of them. And Half Truth is pretty good. I can't remember any of the other ones off the top of my head, but maybe that's a blog post for a different day. That's like a good like. What I consider like old school blog post where you just dive into like trademarks on stuff and just write a whole blog post just about things that this brewery has trademarked or tried to trademark. All right. Brewer's Dozen. I talked about this, last night on this show last night because it's a daily show, I guess. Slow Jam's been out before, but not a juicy IPA. Am I right on that? Am I making this up? They had a beer called Slow Jam, right? Let me see. We'll look at Untappd because that's where we find all of our information. Rheingeist Slow Jam. It was an IPA, an American IPA, 6.5%. This one is 5%. This brew is dank with steady bass lines of citrus chords and piney notes. I don't think this is going to be the same beer. It was originally a collaboration with Shake It Records over in Northside. So maybe they are. We saw the hidden track a minute ago. Maybe they're doing several different beers for Record Store Day. I don't know. Marco says, Daily Show, like Barstool Perspective. No comment. Sway, pineapple, and orange. There's, okay. Here's an interesting one. Piggy Bank Light. This is a 50 West beer that I'm assuming is for the Flying Pig. Look at the happy little pig. How great is that? I think it's some kind of like charity beer. I don't know if we're talking about any kind of a wide release on this. Julie says, was that the Sway for Women's Day? Oh, maybe. No, so they usually get like a better artwork for the Women's Day collaborations. Hang on. Oh, maybe. Yeah, it matches last year, doesn't it? Vodka soda, pineapple, and orange. Yeah, that's probably what that is. Oh, yep, because right here, I'm zooming in on my screen, and it doesn't zoom anything on on yours. Oh, yeah, it does. There it goes. International Women's Day, right there. Whoops. Oh, spoiling. Okay. Oh, yeah. So it says here, the Flying Pig Marathon. Yeah. So this is like a some kind of give back beer for Flying Pig. Fruit Blood. This is a new boy toy artwork. I don't know. I don't know why they need to change it, but there it is. Galaxy High. So Mad Tree has been teasing. Marco says, want to run the pig? No. No. We've seen a bunch of teasing from Mad Tree about this year's roadmap, the releases that they're doing. And some of them I have already talked about on the show, whether you remember them or not. And there's a bunch of people that have their own theories about some of these beers that are coming out that are wrong. And that's fine. You're allowed to be wrong. But this one, Galaxy High, is on tap right now. So it's not surprising that we might or are seeing it in cans. I have not seen it yet, but I imagine if it's on tap now in Oakley, we're probably going to see it pretty soon. I think we saw it on the roadmap, so... but we also definitely saw Citra High on that little graphic and some other fun barrel-aged goodies are coming too. More line. I think this is pretty much the same, just a little bit, maybe some artwork changes. They got the city in the background. I think that's new. I think maybe not. Yeah, I think that's new. Taft's Porkopolis. Okay. A bold hop-forward IPA brewed with a blend of citrusy and piney hops, Porkopolis pays homage to Cincinnati's rich history while delivering a modern punch, crafted for those who savor history as much as flavor. I don't actually understand what this has to do with history. I mean, I understand the idea of Porkopolis, but how does that connect with citrusy, piney beer? I don't understand. I don't actually think this makes any sense. It's probably a fine beer. I don't think the beer is probably going to be bad, but I don't like the branding here. I don't actually like it at all. Let's see. It is 6.7%. Hops are more. Malt is more. Color is color. It's not light or dark. It's just color. Okay. Like, whatever. Like, I don't know. Like, I understand kind of where these brands sit in their portfolio, and I understand that Tafts is kind of the craft brand, so they have to release something like this under Tafts, but I don't think, like, I don't even know that, like, the, what was the Spruce Tips thing that they did? It's sitting over there somewhere, and I can't read it from here. I don't know that that fits to me under Tafts. I don't know. I just don't like it. It doesn't feel good to me. I'll try the beer. I'll like it. Third Eye, Mocha Operandi. Roebling Resin. Thank you, Chris. Yeah, Roebling Resin. Ryan says, I don't trust any new brews from Tafts after trying Hazy Gavel. I have not tried the Hazy Gavel. The Roebling Resin was fine. It wasn't great, but it was fine. Chris says, want some pork chopolis? I could house some pork chops right now. I think, oops, wrong button. I think that, like, a company like Synbev is probably trying to figure out how all of these things fit under different banners that they have. And that's not it's not an easy thing to do. I fully recognize that an IPA and a citrus and pine forward IPA that doesn't fit under Moor Line, and it doesn't fit under Hudepole, and it doesn't fit under Red Top or Burger or Little Kings. And so, like, you start to eventually either have to create a new brand or find one of your brands that it does. And out of all of their brands, the one that it does the most is Tafts. But the name is, I think, where I get hung up. Like, Gavel Banger was a great Tafts beer name. I mean, it's a great name for a beer for them. And even, like, under previous ownership for Tafts, towards the end of kind of their existence, some of those brand names just didn't fit under the brand to me. Like, it didn't feel right. And I think, I mean, there's probably a lot of breweries that struggle with this, of trying to find new names or something that's still clever and on brand, but works for what the beer is. And I think that Tafts not only struggled with that then, but is definitely struggling with it now. Let's just leave it at that. Let's kill this. We're already past an hour. Do I drink gin and juice on this show, or do I go after show? You guys tell me. Oh, man, that's a good beer. Okay, nobody told me, so we're going to go after show. If you want to hang out and drink some melon gin and juice, tune in on Patreon. After show. If you're already a member of our Patreon, if you're a Nomi, tune over there. And in just a few minutes, the show will pop up. If you're not, sign up. You can sign up for free. And you can become a Nomi and get not only after shows when they happen, but first dibs at any videos that I put up on YouTube. Early podcasts, when I get them done early, you will get early access for the magazine, which comes out this year. This. I'm going to say summer this year. I'm trying to do spring, but I don't think it's going to be spring. And all kinds of other fun stuff. And plus, you get like exclusive access to information that other people don't get. So do that. I appreciate you guys. If I drink this and that beer, it's going to be a night. It's going to be a fun night. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you hanging out with me. If you like this, if you like any of the stuff that I do, go to thegnarlygnome.com/support and support the show that way. Become a gnomie. It really does help. This is a very strange thing that that I do here, creating content for the gnome. And the only way that it does work and the only way that it keeps going is because people like you support it. So, yeah, I appreciate you. Just know that. We'll be back next week. Not tomorrow. This is not a daily show now. We'll be back next week, next Monday, 9:30 p.m.-ish, live on Facebook and YouTube Facebook and YouTube. You can subscribe to the podcast, but that's where the lame people listen. You know who you are. We'll see you guys next week. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you. After show. If I was going to make a Gnarly Gnome branded RTD, it couldn't be called Gin and Juice. That's like a Snoop thing, but what would it be called? Gnome Juice? No, that's not it. There's got to be something there, though. Got to think about this.